Welcome back to Growing in His Word. God bless you guys, man. Last week we were talking about the Institute of the Lord's Supper. What a radical day, because we're going to talk about how Jesus broke the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and he told them, take, eat, this is my body. Father, we come before you, Lord. We thank you in your name, Jesus. Lord, Holy Spirit, come. Teach your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome back to Growing in His Word. God bless you guys, man. Last week was a radical time. We talked about Judas, man, and how he betrayed Jesus. And we talked about the celebration of the Passover with his disciples. We talked about how radical it was that as believers, we could repent and turn from our wicked sins and follow Jesus. And if we betray him, he will forgive us indeed, because Jesus has forgiven us all for all of our sins, not just many, but all of them. And he buries them in the bottom of the abyss of the ocean, and he never throws them back in our face. Satan does. And we talked about that. Last week, we talked about how the devil tries to strike the shepherd and destroy his mind, plant thoughts in your mind and make you think that you're not good enough to be a believer. We talked about that. Churches are not talking about the truth today. They're just... A lot of the churches are talking about themselves and how you can give money to their ministry. And we as believers are called, the Great Commission is to get out there and be about the Lord's business. Amen. So growing in his word is verse by verse taught to non-believers and believers out there. Whoever wants to grow, it's free. We're not a 501c3, and we don't want your money. We advise that you give it to the homeless or whoever you want it, the Lord puts it on your heart to give. And with saying that, God bless you guys and good morning. We are in the book of Matthew, and we are blessed to be here this morning. And we are blessed because we're in Matthew chapter 26, and we just finished Jesus's institution of the Lord, of his supper. And we can see the feast, the first day of the feast, how last week the unleavened bread, and it was the day of the Passover, and the disciples were there, and Peter and John and Luke and there he was talking about, one of you will betray me. And he was talking about how he indicated that that one of them would betray him. And they were like, who is it? Me? Is it me? And he pointed out. So Judas was the betrayer. He was the rat. And so it was a radical chapter. Here we are now. We are recapping the end of that sermon. And he says, in verse 27 of Matthew chapter 26, he says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, okay, and he blessed and broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And a lot of us think that Jesus was talking about his physical body, and that's not what he's talking about here. It's spiritual. It's like when you're born again as a believer. It's spiritual. Jesus says, when you receive me as the Messiah, and you say, I want to be forgiven of my sins, and you accept me as your Lord and personal Savior, that's when Jesus comes into your heart, and he begins to dwell in there. And the only thing is people need to feed the Spirit of God. I mean, God can grow on his own, but it's like growing in his word. We're here and you feed it, you read. And so we see, and he says here in verse 30, check it out, man. This is radical, because actually 29 says, but I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And that's where we left off last week. Jesus Christ paid the price for you and me to be in paradise, but he's actually... It's almost, you know, it's better than a car salesman, because he's giving you a mansion for free, you know, like that sit and sale mattress commercial. It's free. Jesus says, who is free is free indeed. The Son sets free. Look, it's radical. And Jesus is now sitting with his disciples. He's going to predict how Peter denies him with the rooster. And now he's given the symbol. Jesus is saying, the symbol is my body. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 talks about that. And then he says, this is my blood of the new covenant. And he's saying the promise. Like it says in Jeremiah 31:31. Remember that. And also it says it in Ezekiel 34. So now we're looking at a radical time. We're closing in on the time where Jesus is going to give his life now. Here's verse 30 says, and we talked about that, and then they had sung a hymn. They went out to the Mount of Olives and they sung that hymn we talked about. And then Jesus said, all of you will be made to stumble because of me. And now listen to this. This night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will scatter. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Listen, believers, this is radical. Striking the shepherd is found in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, in Psalms 118. And we can see the flock, how it's going to be scattered. And we see how Christ is saying, I'm going to meet up in Galilee with his disciples when he dies. Listen to this. He wanted to be away from Jerusalem for a while because, you know, he wanted to basically take up the work of the shepherd, shepherding his flock where he had ministered to them before. And so here's a radical commission given that he's going to meet up in Galilee. But the radical part about this is he's claiming he's going to raise from the dead. He's saying, Peter's going to fall away from me. That's what he's saying. He's saying, look, Peter's going to come. Listen, Jesus wrote this for us. I want to stop right here. I know I wanted to get through this book of Matthew, but I don't want to go rush through it. Let's just slow it down because, believers, this is important. You see Peter, he was hot and warm, hot and cold, hot and cold, hot and cold. Jesus, Jesus, I'll never deny you. I love you, Jesus. I'll fight for you. I'll die for you. Oh, my Jesus. And then he would deny him. He would blow it. And that's where Satan gets us. And you're asking yourself, what do you mean? I don't know. I'm a new believer. If you're a new believer, when you receive Jesus Christ, Satan hates us. He wants to try to destroy anything that grows in us for God's love and mercy and his glory, for his glory. Satan comes along and let me give you an example. And he says, well, hey, you know, you quit drinking. And then all of a sudden you're walking around and your friends are like, hey, come on, let's drink another beer. Come on, let's, come on, come on, come on, come on. It's their disobedience in their life. Satan controls disobedient people. He plants thoughts in their minds and they bite it like a shark. And it's not that they plan on biting it. It's that they're disobedient to God's word. They end up going that route and they end up getting themselves in more trouble. But God always bails them out somehow because he's faithful, because he loves us and he chastens the ones he loves. Does that make sense? Non-believers, if you're out there, listen, God says, if you want to enter in a relationship with me, you're going to have problems. You're going to be like Peter, Caiaphas. You're going to be like Peter. Peter wants to defend everybody, but Jesus says, don't defend me. I can defend myself. He says, even to you false teachers out there, you don't expose them, but you don't have to deal with them. I will. I will make sure on judgment day they are gnashing in the teeth for lying to people and stealing their money on radio programs and promising false things that they can walk out of a wheelchair or, yeah, you're paraplegic and you can walk again. Just donate your last 401k. That's so evil. And God says, I'll deal with those smiley people who think that they're all smiley, especially the ones that, you know, push you out of the church. They're security guards because that happens. You go there normally with your family and they're jealous of you. And so they push you out. And the people who invite you never go to defend you because they're stuck in that situation. So back to Peter, we all become Peters when we receive Jesus. Well, what do you mean we all become Peters? There's a time in life where you're going to act like Peter, where you really want to defend God, but you can't because you're not God. And God can defend himself. We blow it. Uh-oh, I lied, I cheated, I stole. You're a Peter. You're a sinner. And Jesus is saying, Peter's going to deny me. And he's predicting it. But there's always a way, even Peter in the end, when he denied Jesus, it's sad. He denied him. I don't know him. Did the rooster crow three times when they arrested Jesus? We're going to see this. But Jesus forgave him. He forgave him. And Peter felt so bad that he wanted to be crucified upside down out of respect because he respected God. The innocent people who follow Jesus, God loves all the innocent. If you're a dirty sinner and you want to live a sinful life, live it. But leave the innocent out because the innocent love Jesus and God loves the innocent. And God will punish the wicked, he says. Because eternity in hell is real. Believe me, if there's a God, there's a devil. Because the Bible talks about it. And so we see Jesus here in Mark also chapter 14, 27 and Luke 22 and John chapter 13. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me. Well, this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will scatter. After Christ dies, Satan's going to come and try to bang on us for no reason because he knows that we have an e-ticket to heaven. That's the key. He knows we hit the lottery when Jesus Christ dies. He knows it and he hates it. So he's going to try everything to destroy you. He's going to put fear in you. He's going to try to put all kinds, cripple your finances. And the list goes on. But it doesn't matter anymore. We're all going to live a certain amount of years and we all live forever. And that's all that matters, believers. Well, that's kind of bummed. No, it's good news. We're destined to live and we're destined to die. And then we get a new life in Christ and we live again. That's the way of the cross. It's always been that way. But after I have been raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. There is where he's saying now that I am God, I am Jesus Christ, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to die and I'm going to be raised up from the dead. I don't know anyone that's been raised can be raised up from the dead. And Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. And here we go. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And also, and so said all the disciples. Here's the problem, believers, note takers. We say things, but we sometimes don't know what we're saying. God knows our heart. He knows our lives. He's so forgiving and Satan is a liar. It's the way it's been since the beginning of time. God has, you know, my wife the other day said, you know what's radical? God foreknew the ones he predestined. And I said, yeah, you're right. I told my wife, you're right. And we were made in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, God made man in his image, in our likeness, like him, Elohim, plural. And so we see how Jesus is given a green light on how he's going to come back from the dead. And it's awesome. It's radical. It's so radical that Peter tries to say, I'll never do that. But he doesn't know what's going on. They don't even know yet what's going on. They don't even have any idea that God's going to come back from the dead. They really don't realize it until they get hit by it. And so Jesus came, listen to this, believers. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. Now he's getting one-on-one time with the Father. Here's the proof that Jesus is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And he took with him Peter, listen to this, and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. This is later here. Now it's coming on. Watch this. And then he said to them, my soul, in Hebrew also, my soul is nefesh, is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Okay, watch this. It's going to get radical. He went a little farther, okay? And he fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus Christ was 100% God and 100% man. It goes back to Psalms 42:5. He wanted them to stay awake because, you know, Jesus, listen to this, the cup that was going to be passed, it was not basically the impeding physical suffering, as terrible as it would be, that caused Jesus to pray this way, you guys. Excuse me. It was the reality of the sinless Son of God bearing the sins of the world and facing separation from his Father. It says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, in Hebrews chapter 12. And also, this cup that wanted to be passed, Jesus became the curse for us. And he took the brunt of God's righteous wrath against sin. And talks about that in Galatians chapter 3. And so he's basically telling them, I'm tripping because I'm going to die for the world. It's crazy. Can you imagine that weight being put upon your shoulders? We don't deserve anything. We don't deserve to be forgiven. We're sinners, but God said, I'm going to do that for you. I'm going to give you my only begotten Son. So when you go out there and you prostitute or you kill people, you lie, you cheat, God says, I'm going to wipe that slate clean and never throw it in your face again. And I'm going to love you for who you are and where you are. And you're thinking, how can you do that? He did it to Paul. Paul was a murderer, the Bible says. And he wrote 1/3 of the Bible. Isn't it amazing how God uses murderers? I don't want to be around those prisoners. Yeah, well, Paul was taking them on a ship. Remember that sermon, Get Your Ship Together? In Acts? Yeah, Paul was on the ship with them, and he was telling them, man, they were scared. We're all going to die. Paul said, calm down. Calm down, kids. Ain't, you know, God already told me you're going to live. Just calm down. Quit freaking out. And this is what happens when we freak out and we don't trust in the Lord. Here he is. He's dying for us on the cross. We got to rest in the Holy Ghost. We got to rest on the cross. We got to rest in the blessed hope of Jesus Christ. And that's the radical message today, believers. Rest. Rest. I got two dogs and I look at them and they just sit there and they do nothing until the burglar comes and then they want to eat them. Well, I've never had a burglar yet, praise God, but if he does come, I'll give him the word. So if the dogs don't eat him, but the dogs rest, they're sitting there resting. And we got to rest. We just got to rest in the Lord, rest in the blood of Jesus. It's never too late. Listen, Jesus is telling his disciples, you're going to blow chunks. You're going to become Peters. And you're not going to be able to be good enough for me ever. But I'm going to die for you so that you could say, look, I'm clean now. But don't use it as a crutch. I know a lot of churches out there, they go to confession and they got to keep telling their father that, oh, I'm forgiven now. Okay, go drink some more beer. Now I'm forgiven tomorrow. No, it's not like that, man. Jesus says, get rid of that habitual sin and start wanting to follow me. If you struggle, I get it. If you blew chunks last week or the 2 weeks before that or a year ago or 10 years ago and you want to come clean. Get in your closet, pray, say, Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I'm a Peter. I'm a blow it. I want to come and know you as my Lord and Savior. That's what Jesus is saying today. That's the message, you guys. Hope. Hatikva in Hebrew. Ahava, love. This is a celebration. Jesus is he's sweating bullets, but he's doing it. He's obedient even to the point of death for us. And we don't deserve it. And Peter's going, wow, I'll never deny you, Jesus. And God says, well, that when that rooster crows three times, you will have denied me. So he's saying he already knows the future and he knows the past. And Satan brings up the past because he wants to rob your future. Let me repeat that again. Satan wants to bring up your past so he can rob your future. This is the goal of the devil. And God says, stop it. Don't listen. Block it out. Put headphones in, holy praise music. But keep listening to the Holy Spirit in your life. Let him flow through you and in you. What do you mean the Holy Spirit? Yeah, when you receive Jesus, John 14 says you have the Holy Spirit. When he left, he left you the Holy Spirit. That's alive today. It's radical. It's like a plant that grows beautiful. And it just grows in your life like the fruit. And people see it and they want to pick it and eat it. It's like my family. A lot of people come to me and say, you have a beautiful family. I say, it's praise the Lord. Pray, it's not me. It's all Jesus. It's easy to sin. It's harder to be obedient. I don't want the things of the world. I don't want the money. I don't want the lust of the flesh. I don't want the booze, the alcohol, the drugs. I want Jesus. I want to be high on Jesus because I love it. Feels good to be knowing that you're clean and redeemed and Satan doesn't own you. What do you mean? Well, it's simple. Everyone's owned by the devil until they come clean. Give their life to Christ. It's easy. Give it up. God gave it up for you. You give it up for him now. It's not about us. Never was. Believers, it was never about us. Jesus Christ is in love with us, and he's saying to God, his own Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And God said, no, we're going all the way with this. We're going all the way with this because I love human beings, and I want to die for them. Listen, then verse 40 says, and he came to his disciples, and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's where we're at, believers. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we constantly wrestle with that. We constantly wrestle. A little leaven leavens the lump. I'll just lie a little bit here and cheat a little bit there. And God says, don't do it. It grows. It grows into something bigger. Then you got a fire. Then it's out of control. And so, you know, the flesh is weak. We often struggle with our sins. I get it. I understand. I'm human also. But God says, I've given you a way out of sin. And it's my son. There's no excuse to keep sinning, he says. Certainly not, Paul said. There's no excuse. Keep going, keep running, and finish the race. Listen, Jesus is saying here again the second time. He went away praying and said, oh, my Father, if the cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And listen to this, verse 43. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And he came to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping? Resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hand of sinners. There it is. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. He's telling them, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to die for the world, bro. And they don't even know this yet. Listen, they don't even know it. They're sleeping. Jesus was sweating in prayer to the point of exhaustion, bro. Look at Luke chapter 22 says it, verse 43. And this verse shows that Jesus' active submission to the Father's will, as it's stated, he says, listen to this, Jesus did not go reluctantly, but with determination to do the Father's will. It's like we have to do his will. He loves us. He loves us, believers. He knows we struggle. We're sinners. Look at him sleeping. He knows. But here's where it comes. Right here, believer. Watch this. This is interesting, and we're going to close soon. Our sins put Jesus Christ on the cross. Our sins are what did this to Jesus. We are all guilty. All of us. Because verse 47 says, and while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with the great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Here he comes. The rat, which he had to be a rat. It was written. Because how would God die for us? Listen, it was supposed to happen this way, believers. 48 says, now his betrayer had given them a sign saying, whoever I kiss, he is the one, seize him. And this is where Jesus was betrayed by Judas. And immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi. He said, shalom, Rabbi. And he kissed him. He kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? See, Jesus is already calling him friend. Listen, Jesus is already calling him friend after he betrayed him. Look at this. Friend, why have you come? It's amazing. Just focus on that. Even though he knew Judas's wicked heart and actions, Jesus offered him friendship and an opportunity to change his mind. Because that's what God does. Mercy. I have lots of friends that are wicked, and I give them time to repent. It's up to them. I still love everybody, God says. Love everybody. Even though he knew Judas's wicked heart and actions, Jesus offered him friendship and an opportunity to change his mind, because people do change. And he says, why have you come? Listen to this, man. Why have you come? Why have you come? Do you want to have... Why do you come? So here we see Peter is making sure he's getting his money. You see? His silvers, his pieces of silver is 30 pieces, which is the amount of a slave back then. Remember that? And then he came, listen to it. Then he came and he laid hands on Jesus, took him, verse 51. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hands and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Shoo, whacked his ear right off. Ha ha ha. But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will die by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot, listen to this, that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? In the hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, have you come out? Have you come out against a robber with the sword and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Listen, believers, then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Watch this. He could have summoned 72,000 angels. That's how many legions that is. A legion in the Roman army was about 6,000 men. Imagine that. Talks about that in Exodus 12:23 in 2 Samuel. 72,000 angels he could have summoned. But he said, no, I'm not going to do that. No. No. Then they all forsook him right there and they fled. They all left him. They forsook. They bailed. They bounced. When the cops came, they ran. They didn't want to do no time. They got out of the car and booked. They said, later, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I'm running away. They don't want to do the time. Because, see, Satan wants you to do the time for people. Notice that one? That's how he does it. That's another trap. You see? Stay away. Ask for forgiveness. Say, Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I don't want to go to that school anymore. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go to those bars anymore and drink. I want to be forgiven of my sins. I don't want to hurt people anymore. I want to be right with you, Jesus. I don't want to die by the sword. I want to live by the Bible. That's what Jesus is saying today. If you do that, you'll be blessed. I promise you that. Takes a while. Oh, but it hurts to change. Trust me, it took years for me to get used to following and being obedient to Jesus. And that's what he desires, obedience, believers. Listen, it's a radical book. And verse 57 says, and we're going to be done with it. So, and it says, and those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard because he felt bad. Conviction started to set in. And Jesus didn't even die yet. Look, watch this. And he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Amazing. Next week, we're going to get into the we're going to get into the actual chief priests and the elders and how they're going to counsel. And we're going to see this. We're going to see the court and how Peter denies Jesus and weeps bitterly. Because Peter, in Mark chapter 14 and Luke 22 and John 18, it talks about how he wept bitterly because the rooster did crow. We believers often deny Jesus and we don't mean to. And he knows it. I want to say this to you guys right now. Listen to this. We're going to stop here. We're going to end in verse 59 and pick it up next week. But I want to say this today. Jesus knows that you're going to deny him. We're human. We're not God. But Jesus Christ loves us and he forgives us. Whatever you've done in this world, I don't care what you've done. Jesus Christ will forgive you. Unless you deny him on your deathbed or you don't receive him as your Lord and Savior and die that way. I'm sorry, the Bible says it. Or if you curse the Holy Spirit. This is what the Bible teaches. Forgiveness, mercy, joy, and love. Peter was a sinner. We all have Peter traits, and Jesus sat with his disciples saying, look, finish the race. I love you guys. Don't let the devil condemn you. If you've broken your fingers and your toes, get back up and finish the race. I'll give you the strength. Don't give up. Don't give up in this life. Don't get attached to the world. Don't get attached to the drama, the trials. Don't get attached to the things of the world. Jesus says, set your mind on heavenly things. He says, and I will bless you on earth, and I'll bless you in heaven. Remember that, guys. Father, we come before you. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that you, Lord, went to the cross for our sins. And what an amazing thing you did for us. So we just now, Lord, we want to say thank you, Father. We love you, Jesus. We can't wait for you to come back for us. We know you're coming, Lord. Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation says it. And we thank you for what you've done on the cross, Jesus. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you guys, man. And hey, listen, next week we're going to talk about the trial. Jesus is going to trial, man. And he's going to go to the cross pretty soon. And we're going to start a new book. God bless you guys. And I'm going to be away for a while in Israel. I got to go back there and take care of some stuff. And I'll be back to the USA. God bless you guys. And may the Lord bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.